prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
If we can do this show today without having to switch to telephones, it's going to be a miracle. I don't know if there's a problem with Be Live TV. I've been chasing a problem all morning long, and now I'm starting to think it's their platform. Today is Tuesday. We have the Blueprint Power Hour, and to piss off the
calling
radio
all guys. Blueprint Army, fall in line. It's time for the Blueprint Power Hour with Coach Rob Regish on the Superhuman Radio Network.
I don't want to piss off the technology gods and hold you off too long because the cameras will drop again. And this has been a joke this morning. But okay, we're here. Welcome to the Blueprint Power Hour with Coach Rob Regish and myself, where we answer your questions. And if you want to ask questions, you can post them here on Facebook, and we will work them into the discussion today. That's the best we can do right now. How you doing, Rob? What's new?
I am doing excellent. How about you?
Yeah, I'm actually doing really good myself, to tell you the truth. You know, I'm sleeping better, and when I sleep well, life is good.
Yeah, you're going to the Arnold too, right?
I leave Thursday. I'll be spending all day Saturday at the Redcon 1 booth, so if you're there, please come by and say hello.
Cool.
Because I'm going to be amongst all these bodybuilders. No one's going to know who I am, you know.
Right.
You know, so hopefully some people know who I am. You never know. So anyway,
get those free samples and let me know.
I don't do that. That's not my thing. No, it's like trick or treating for adults at that place.
Yeah, that's true.
Everybody's walking around. They got shopping bags. They run back to their rooms. They empty the shopping bags. They come back. They do it all over again, and they go home with like $6,000 worth of product.
Yeah,
but you know, it's nice that they can do that.
Yeah, and for a lot of people, or for a lot of companies, rather, several in particular. They launched their pre-workout products, and they really took off. One that I'm thinking about, but of course later on it was discovered that it was a designer stimulant, which wasn't listed on the label. But be that as it may, the Arnold is not a bad place to kind of gauge the health of the supplement industry based on who's there, how many folks are there, and what they're there with.
Yeah, how profitable. And you know what? So in past years, the exhibitors were dropping off, but now this year they're having a banner year, I found out. So it just goes to show you the economy is doing better. People are spending more money on this stuff.
Right. That's a sign.
So we're going to get right into it. So these are questions that have been submitted. We don't have names for all of them. That's why they kind of ended up in this list today. The first one is, as of late – wait, did I do something wrong? No, that's it. Yeah, training as of late and lessons learned. That's a question to both you and I, apparently, right?
Yeah. Do you want to go first? Or you want me to?
I'll go first because your discussion is probably more interesting right now. I mean, I'm not training lower body, and I really need to, and I can't wait to, and I just can't wait to be able to get up in the morning and just go for a walk. But it's getting close. I'm spending more and more time without the boot on, so that's a good thing.
You still want a physical therapy?
No, I'm not doing. I'm doing my own physical therapy. I know enough about physical therapy to get this foot to work. You know what I got to do? Walk, and then walk some more. That's going to fix the foot and everything else in my legs before I start actually training legs again. My upper body training is going good. I continue to get stronger. That's the important thing.
Yes.
So I'm happy with that. And I'm just doing an every other day routine right now because I'm kind of coasting. You know, until my lower body comes up, I'm just one day on, one day off, and I just keep rotating, you know, chest, shoulders. I do push, pull, push, pull. Yep. That's it.
I love the push-pull routine. I think it's excellent, especially for lifters that have been training for years. It just allows me to focus better on those muscle groups. So I wish you nothing but a speedy recovery, my friend.
Yeah. No, I've resign myself to the fact that I'm going to be walking for the next 7 or 8 months, that's going to be in and of itself working my way up to an hour a morning walking, and then I'll keep training push-pull in the meantime, and maybe I'll even start to do some light leg extensions and stuff like that. It's going to take me a while. You know, I'm 60. I keep forgetting that. It's really easy. You know what's really funny? I realize, and I should feel very blessed because I really do feel a lot younger than I am. And yep. My body responds a lot better. And my expectations of myself are a lot higher. Than I got a lot of friends that are like more like sliding into home base right now. And I'm like, no, man, there's a lot more to do yet.
Right.
You know? And so it's because I feel good. Overall, I feel good.
60 is the new 30, or as you like to say, old is the new young.
Yeah, there you go. How about you? How are you training? So you've had some things go on. You're also training for jiu-jitsu. How's your training changed now that translates to a better ground game, for instance?
Yeah, interesting question. So I walk into my first jiu-jitsu class at about 250 pounds, and I quickly find out, after I start rolling with a guy who's 150, how effective jiu-jitsu is, but also how quickly you gas out when you're not used to that type of combat. Mm-hmm. So it became very clear to me very fast, weightlifting shape is not fighting shape.
Right.
Weightlifting and strength, of course, will always be a component, and a big component of fighting, but it takes a shift in mindset. And so I had to divvy up the weight training and the cardio and make adjustments. Now, interestingly enough, as of late, I've had a mixed bag. And by that, I mean this. For over a year now, I have had a goal of box squatting 500 pounds. Mm-hmm. And started at 400. Have used loading patterns almost exclusively during that time. And it has taken me much longer than I thought it would originally. And that's due primarily to I had multiple back injuries, two or three. I had the shingles. I had a bout with rhabdo and other challenges in life that that present themselves. You need to be able to adjust. But long story short, last Saturday, I peak and I get my 500-pound box squat. Yesterday, I roll into the gym and say to myself, I'm going to take a free squat, take the box away, and I'm going to wrap my knees too. So 500 pounds should be a breeze, right? Not so fast. I got in there yesterday and I tried 500 once, missed it badly. And then strip the bar down, put all the weight back on.
Oh, man. That's what I was worried about. That's what I was worried about. Rob, I don't know if you can hear me anymore, but we are completely frozen out of and we're going to just switch to telephone here in just a second. Just sit tight, everybody. I'm not going to fool with this stuff here. Hold on a second. Let's just do this the old-fashioned way. And forget about Facebook Live, and we'll just finish the question. So you were talking about box squatting, and you were talking about how you did get through, and you did box. You missed your first attempt, right?
Missed my first attempt. And then a little boy that I trained, his name's Gerard, got there just before my second attempt. And he saw me miss it, and he obviously felt bad. And so he said to me, I'm sorry. He says, I wanted you to get it.
Ah, that's sweet.
And I looked at him, and I said, I appreciate that. Thank you. I said, but I want you to understand something. I tried and failed. I did not fail to try.
Right.
Big difference. So he, he smile crossed his face. I could see that he understood it. And so he took that lesson to heart. So I explained to him, I said, because you're young, because you just started, and kind of also because of the way that I'm metering out the exercises, the sets and the reps, so forth, every workout for him is a success. He goes up and pretty dramatically in most of his exercises. I said, but I want you to understand something. It's not always going to be that way. Matter of fact, right, lifting is a great teacher for life. You're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days. The difference between good and great lifters are that great lifters retool, they analyze what may have gone wrong, they re-strategize and come up with a new method of training such that they can return to that lift and get it. And I explained to him, I said, Gerard, the day is coming where I'll hit my 500. I said, but I want you to understand this. It's going to mean so much more because I missed today. I said, the magic is oftentimes not even in accomplishing your goal. It's the struggle. It's the struggle. And in fact, I will tell you this. When I hit that 500 box squat, it was so anticlimactic because as much as I valued that, what I valued even more was the struggle from 400 to 500.
Right.
That's right. What separates the men from the boys.
That's it. And you know, you have to be patient, but you have to keep going. And you know, a lot of people, and that's why you have so many people program jumping, because they don't see the results that they think they deserve. That's
right.
A dangerous word, deserve, that they think they deserve for the work that they put in, and they stop short. They switch gears. So here's a question that kind of fits right into that. Is it possible to train too hard?
Absolutely, and that's a great question. And the answer to that is yes. Now, I want you – so one of the things that I learned early on was that you could do the take your life with a barbell thing and actually go backwards. So hard training athletes will always encounter the wall, the so-called catabolic wall, where for all of the training intensity that you put out, your body responds with a cortisol backlash that's even greater, and it's worse than the fact that you actually go nowhere. You can go in reverse. You can actually get weaker due to central nervous system disinhibition. And if you study and you look up Dr. Hanseil's GAS theory, general adaptation to stress, it's very clear that a proper training stimulus will result in a brief period of fatigue, a slightly longer period of recovery, and then a period of supercompensation where you get larger and stronger before you have that return to baseline. There's something, however, known, and this is what's applicable insofar as training too hard. There's something known as the Goldilocks principle. Goldilocks, if you remember, was looking for porridge, I think made by three bears. One was too hot, one was too cold, and one was just right. In the Goldilocks principle, if you train too hard, if you make too big of an inroads into your recovery, the dip that you see associated with fatigue lasts longer, much longer. The dip is further exacerbated during recovery, and even a long time after the training session, you will not reach a period of supercompensation, but rather, at best, you'll get a return to baseline. So let me give you one very pointed example. There was a particular squat workout, leg workout that I did that fit this to a T. And here's what I did. I started with 315 pounds on the squat. I did, I don't know, 10 reps. Stripped 90 pounds off, immediately did, you know, 225 for 15 or 20. Stripped 90 more pounds off, and then with 135, I just burned it out. I can't remember how many reps, 20, 30, something like that. But hold on, we're not done yet. You back away from the bar, and you proceed to jump as high as you can into the air, and as soon as you hit the ground, you rebound again, do it again. You do that until your legs give out. But hold on, we're still not done. At that point, you perform extreme stretches, and if memory serves, it was a quadricep stretch, you know, where you're laying on the ground, you've got your, let's say, right leg quadricep stretched quite a bit, the other leg out in front of you, and then you lean back and place a dumbbell round about your knee, which constitutes weighted stretching. I will tell you that as painful as those squats were and jumps were, the The weighted stretches were even worse. But here's my point. After that workout, I was not stronger the next workout. I was not stronger the next week. I was not stronger 2 weeks later. I was just getting back to where I was 3 weeks later. So just remember this. Whenever you're tempted to do something crazy like that, understand the Goldilocks principle. It can't be too little, but it can't be too much. It needs to be just right. And finding that is a function of, frankly, documentation and lifting maturity. So, yeah, that's my two cents. You can train too hard, and that's a good example of how to do it.
Now, flirting with overtraining is a different thing that Leo Costa promoted in Big Beyond Belief, and that's worth paying attention to be honest with you, because...
Right.
Sit tight. We'll be right back. We're going to run a real quick commercial. Are you looking for a better way to absorb the nutrients you know you need? Do what I do and start your day with lipospheric supplements from Livon Labs. Unlike pills and powders, Livon's patented liposomal encapsulation technology transports nutrients like vitamin C, vitamin B, glutathione, acetyl-L-carnitine, and alpha-lipoic acid to where they need to be, your cells. Visit try.livonlabs.com/Carl to learn why I take these supplements every day to help me perform in the gym and in life. That's try.livonlabs.com/Carl.
Men and women, you've heard about hormone optimization. Do you feel like it's something you want to look into? RenewLifeRx.com is the place to start. Their doctors can help you with the solutions. RenewLifeRx.com has a simple process for lab work, consultation, and taking a deep dive into where your hormone levels can be improved. Superhuman Radio listeners get 30% off your initial lab work and consultation. Go to RenewLifeRx.com to schedule your no-obligation phone consultation today. Feel younger, get in better shape, and be more productive at RenewLifeRx.com.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000. Or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number 1.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000. Or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to RedconOne.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number 1.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back. You know, we started the show out on Facebook Live, and then we switched midstream to the telephone, and I'm looking down and I'm going, oh man, the telephone line is up. I don't want it to like make noise in the background, and I hit the button and dropped it. I was like, "Oh no, I forgot. I'm an idiot." Okay, so did I cut you off? You were still finishing your thoughts on that, or do you want to move on to the next question?
My point being there, your training stimulus can't be too little.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be too much. It needs to be just right, and you will find that primarily through documentation and trial and error.
Yeah. And one of the things that you can do is check your resting heartbeat first thing in the morning, because if it's rapid, it's, you're getting close to overtraining, or maybe you are overtrained. And the other thing is you can do the technique that I learned from Dan John, and that is pick any key on a keyboard, open up the word processor or text document, and tap it as many times as you can in 30 seconds. And if you're well-rested, you'll probably tap it a lot more than if you're getting close to being fatigued. So you have to do this one time the first time when you know you're well-rested. You're like, wow, I haven't trained in 4 or 5 days. Let me try this. And you may, maybe in 30 seconds you'll tap it, I don't know, 215 times. And then you train for 2 or 3 weeks, and you start getting into the overtraining, and you try it, and you find out, oh, man, I can't even get to 200.
That's really unique. I usually use heart rate, but I'm going to try that next time.
Yeah, you can use it to triangulate. If heart rate isn't enough information for you because you typically run a fast heart rate already, you can add those two things together. Okay, so here's another question. What are the three types of tribulus? And you know what? And I would like to add, parenthetically, does tribulus really even do anything worthwhile other than make you feel a little more libido?
I think I have the answer to that, but...
Okay, go ahead.
Be that as it may. There are, in fact, three different types of tribulus, despite the fact that 90% of what you will see on the market today is tribulus terrestris. So the three types are tribulus terrestris, tribulus aquaticus, and a third called tribulus elatus. So a little bit about each. Tribulus terrestris was the original form introduced in this country in 1988. The best stuff comes from Bulgaria, and it's very high in the active ingredient furostenolic saponins. You will also note tribulus is marketed as a testosterone booster. And so when we're talking about tribulus terrestris, the reality is there's very little research showing that it increases testosterone. I've seen everything from 12 to 30%, but we need to put that in context. 30% on a total test level of 300 gets you from 300 to, what, 390. That's not really going to move the needle. Now, what tribulus terrestris is very good for, though, is libido, I suspect because of the effect it has on the brain.
No. No, okay. It increases the weight and size of the vesicle apparatus, which is basically the prostate and the plumbing to and from the prostate.
Yep.
And if anyone knows anything about the prostate, you know that a man can achieve orgasm from a phenomenon called milking the prostate. And when guys start having prostate problems, they actually have like a tickling feeling in the tip of their penis.
Right.
And so if your prostate gets excited, for lack of better terms, you have a libido. You're getting aroused. You're getting like a sensation down there.
Right. So there's an effect on libido. The improvement in erections largely comes from the nitric oxide effect of said furostenolic saponin.
Ah.
It does show a 20% increase to IGF-1 levels, which may explain the fact that in some studies it was shown in older individuals, muscle mass, well, it didn't exactly, you know, get magnified, but they didn't lose muscle mass either. So it's something to consider. Tribulus aquaticus is probably the least known of the three. It showed up many years ago in a product called USP Labs Prime. The reality, though, is that tribulus aquaticus is probably the least potent of all three, and relative to what I've said on this show many, many times, good products last because people keep buying them. USP Labs Prime hasn't been in circulation in years and years. It had about a 5-year run. You saw people get what was largely, in my opinion, a placebo effect, and then it was gone. The final type of tribulus is tribulus elatus, and here we do see some research indicating that it can boost testosterone levels and free testosterone, both total and free. I don't recall what the exact increases were, but if I were to speculate, I'm almost entirely certain it's not going to boost them to super physiological levels, which increase protein synthesis and nitrogen retention, et cetera, et cetera. Having said that, it's been around all these years because people get a visible, feelable effect from it. The final thing you should know is that Tribulus, particularly Tribulus terrestris, has a fair amount of research showing benefit to heart function. And this, again, goes back to its nitric oxide properties. The absolute best, I hesitate to call it a Tribulus product, but it was lumped in with them. Many years ago, there was a product called Fuzu on the market, and it was a combination of three herbs, which were standardized to very high levels of furostenolic saponins. Those three were Tribulus terrestris, fenugreek, and a lesser-known Dioscorea deltoidea. Why it went out of production, I don't know. I seem to get a nice little effect from it. Today, the best furostenolic saponin tribulus you can get is a product called Adaptogen N from Muscle and Sports Science. They do a very nice job with that one, and it's a whopping 1,500 milligrams, three-cap nighttime dose, which is pretty much double what everyone else is. So those are the three types of tribulus. That's what they do, and that would be my product recommendation. Also, the original Tribulus terrestris, the product name is called Tribestin. That is also an acceptable alternative.
So I just got this message on Facebook from Brandon Murphy.
Yep.
He says, do you know of any supplements out there today that still contain DMAA or any type of amphetamine analogs?
The short answer to your question is yes, but they're rapidly disappearing. DMAA, that fight was the supplement industry, in particular, one individual and his company fought that, the FDA on it. They went back and forth for years. Long story short, DMAA was removed from the market. You may find a few companies with some overstock of, there was a product called Mesomorph with DMAA in it. DMHA, I think it is a notch below DMAA in its function and its stimulatory properties, but that too was ruled to be not naturally occurring. Having said that, I've seen it in a few products in the UK, Predator Nutrition, where you can also get Progenadrex and Synthogen. I've seen it in a few products over there. I would not anticipate it would have a problem clearing customs here. You know, very few customs inspectors are going to know the herbal source of it, which is listed as King Kafoli extract, I think it is, on the label. So if you want to get DMHA, I would get it over there and import it.
The next question is, how long is Kratom good for? And I don't know if that question means when you take a dose, how long does the effects last, or how long does it stay good, doesn't perish, if you store it away, and how would you store it? Which how do you interpret that question?
Well, I can answer both of them. A lot of Kratom has a best buy date. Like many other supplements, what I have found, I just did this morning, I broke out some green Malay I had, three and a half years ago. Works the same as I got it the first day it was here, you know. So there doesn't seem to be some magical process where on the expiration date, the active ingredients all of a sudden change to something else. So I would tell you it's good for at least a minimum of 3 years. On point number two, how long does it last? That largely depends by, you know, which strain you're using. A strain like Green Malay or Green Indo will last about 7 hours. The reds usually last between 4 and 6. And the whites, which are stimulatory, seem to last between 2 and 4. So it depends on what you're using it for and, you know, a few other particulars. Now, more timely, we get to an update on Kratom and its legality. So several years ago, the FDA and the DEA attempted to, literally in the middle of the night, try to ban Kratom. They pushed it through with no public comment period, which, if I'm not mistaken, is required by law. Long story short, the Kratom lobby in this company, which is probably the most well-organized supplement freedom organization that I have seen in a long time, the American Kratom Association, successfully pushed that back and, you know, called for the public comment period. Our representatives and senators were flooded with telephone calls, letters, emails from individuals who were using it to get off opioids and, in general, talking about how wonderful it was. But here's the latest. FDA hack Scott Gottlieb, I think he's the acting commissioner, he hasn't been able to get his prized federal ban on Kratom because the American Kratom Association exposed his lies and the American people, as I mentioned, stood up to his tyranny. He had previously ordered an import alert that all but shut down Kratom coming through customs into America. So now his new tactic is to go state to state and get the individual states to try and ban it. Currently, there are 6 states where Kratom is banned, those being Alabama, Arkansas, Indiana, Tennessee, Vermont, and Wisconsin. I'm going to tell you now, if you value your supplement freedoms, and in particular Kratom, visit the American Kratom Association's website, get on their mailing list, and consider joining the fight. They are having some wonderful success stories here, too. For example, there was a ban in Utah. They successfully overturned that ban. Okay? So I want you to sign up for the newsletter. If you have the means, contribute to the fight, however little it may be, and you don't want to be taken surprised, obviously, in your state. These people, the American Kratom Association, are our only hope. They are incredibly effective at what they do. They are in Washington, D.C., and they contract with lawyers in the states. This is very important. I want people to understand this. This battle is about more than Kratom. It's about consumers standing up for their supplement rights and stopping the FDA and the DEA, which exist only to protect the pharmaceutical companies. And in fact, Kratom is their chosen fight because what's Kratom taking away from them?
Oh, man.
They're opioids.
And more than that, and pain relievers in general.
Pain relievers in general. And listen, you know, they want to say Kratom is dangerous and it'll kill people? Bull. Absolute bull. You take too many opioids, we all know what happens.
You die. Stop. You forget to breathe.
Right. Your respiratory system shuts down. If you take too much Kratom, the worst thing that's going to happen...
You get nauseous and you vomit like a looney tin.
You're going to throw it up. You might be a little dizzy, but that's it. Okay? Nobody's dying from Kratom, despite what these people want you to believe. So, look, join the fight. Understand it's about more than Kratom. And let's stop the FDA and the DEA.
Next question is, what's a good measure of cardiovascular health for a person who lifts predominantly?
Yeah, and I think this is a good question because we're obviously going to be a different standard than someone who's a triathlete, someone who's a marathon runner, right? Somebody who does cardio for the sake of cardio. I've tried many, many different things, and There are several ways to go about it. One of the best is using a sled to push and to pull and to sprint with and to push with and to, you know, pull backwards and forwards. But not everybody has a sled. Not everybody has, you know, stadium stairs to run. Not everybody has these things. Most people that go to a gym, though, have access to a treadmill. So I've come up with two workouts that if you can complete them, then you're in pretty darn reasonable cardiovascular shape for somebody who lifts weights. Test number one is being able to run on the treadmill. If you can run for a mile in 10 minutes without being totally gassed out, you're in pretty good shape for a lifter. The other workout, I particularly like this one a lot more, and the data is clear, high-intensity interval training is superior. This HIIT test is the one I really want you to work towards. Set a treadmill on speed 10, level 10, which is moving pretty good. Set the incline to 10. It goes up to 15, so you have some perspective. And then I want you to sprint for 10 seconds and rest for 10. Sprint for 10 seconds, rest for 10. If you can do that for 10 minutes, you're in pretty good cardiovascular shape for a lifter. And I can tell you anecdotally, if I'm able to complete two of those HIIT sessions in a week, I've seen some nice fat loss around the waist. So, you know, there it is. In both instances, cardio is not going to take you more than 10 minutes. It is going to be challenging, but listen, you need to do it for the heart and lungs and the ticker. And at the end of the day, if you strike the right balance between intensity and frequency, it will only benefit, not take away, from your weight training.
You know, I'm a big fan of something that Nate Morrison has talked about on the show for a long time, and that is the beauty of just walking. I think that intensity and intense cardiovascular training is important, but I also think that slow, steady state, which people find the most boring, is important because from an evolutionary perspective, what we did all day was walk. You know, we right. sprinted a little bit here and there, but we walked. A lot of the lower back problems that predominate our population, I believe, can be tracked back to lack of walking and the increase in sitting. Walking can actually cure your bad back. If you have a bad lumbar problem, if you started walking every day, you will find out within a couple months you don't have a bad lumbar problem anymore.
Yep.
So I think walking is important. And I think walking, you know, half hour, 45 minutes, 40 minutes, you know, it doesn't have to be anything crazy, but definitely just walking, it has a great value too. And it's been shown that walking versus running does something very different to the heart. Sabina Scala came on the show. She's a strength and conditioning coach from the UK, and she came on the show, and she talked about the importance for UFC MMA fighters to just walk. So,
yeah, I would agree. I would echo those comments. I forget who it was, but they said once, you know, walking delivers 80 to 90% of the benefits of jogging with only 10% of the, you know, deleterious effects.
Yeah, impact, high impact, all that sort of stuff. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And let's face it, you know, for people, you know, we're used to going in the gym and living a healthy lifestyle and being active. Someone who wants to get in better shape, instead of going to the gym and knocking themselves out 5 days a week, just start by walking. You know, people that are very heavy, that's all they're going to be able to do. So, you know, have them walk whatever, 100 yards, and then the next day 200, and then, you know, build that up. It's nice because they can see themselves progressing, right? And here's the big thing. They don't hurt the next day when they get out of bed.
Yeah.
So that's my thought on cardio for
you know, weight. I was in the best shape of my life when the judge took my car away during my divorce, and I was living in Arizona. I was walking to and from the gym every day. I was walking from my mom's house to my sister's house where I had my studio set up every day. I was, you know, wearing a backpack. I was always carrying stuff. I got nice and tan. And I got ripped, man. When I came back to Kentucky after that, it was the middle of summer here. And I remember, yep. I'll never forget this. I had an apartment with a pool right outside my back sliding glass door. And so after my show, I used to just go out and lay in the sun. I mean, I loved it. It was so great. I was coming back from the pool one day, and there was a groundskeeper, and he was working, and he looked up at me and he said, "You look just like Johnny Weissmuller." Now, you remember who Johnny Weissmuller was, right?
Yep.
He played Tarzan.
Yep.
I was dark tan. My hair was all curly. And I said to him, "That's the nicest compliment anybody's ever paid to me, because my father thought Johnny Weissmuller was just the best." But, you know, walking will change your body for the better. Just walk.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to take one quick commercial break. When we come back, we have the blueprint tip of the day, and it's an important one. Stay tuned. For the past 4 months, I've been keeping a secret. Every night at bedtime, I tape my mouth shut with Somnifix strips. That's right, and here's why. Whether you snore or not, at some point in the night, almost all of us start breathing through our mouth. Since I've started using Somnifix strips, I've noticed that I sleep deeper and have seen improvements in my health, fitness, and cognitive function. That's because nose breathing activates the parasympathetic nervous system and improves nitric oxide production. And that leads to improved sleep immunity, carbon dioxide, oxygen exchange, and much more. Oh, and if you do snore, it'll help you stop snoring. Try Somnifix risk-free. Go to SOMNIFIX.com/SHR. Get a free trial pack of Somnifix strips today.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of H-Hemp Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started H-Hemp Company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from H-Hemp Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try H-Hemp Company products. Search H-Hemp Company and use code SHR for 20% off and free shipping. That's H-Hemp Company and code SHR.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high protein, low carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert, but this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
I think it's funny that with all the technology I'm trying to incorporate into every show, we go back to the tried and true audio podcast as the backup. So what is the blueprint tip of the day, Rob?
Well, the tip of the day is something I came across when I was Googling around. So the tip of the day is a convenient villain. How the public was programmed to think steroids killed Lyle Alzado. So, as I said, I was poking around YouTube this week, and I came across the Lyle Alzado story. It was complete with a teary-eyed interview he did with Roy Firestone, where he proceeded to blame steroids for his inoperable brain tumor. He later appeared, if you remember, on the cover of Sports Illustrated with the caption, "I lied." So there sat the formerly ferocious defensive end, at one point nearly 300 pounds of muscle, but now he's a mere shadow of himself, sobbing over the quote-unquote mistake that he made by using steroids for pretty much his entire career, by his own admission. To this day, Alzado is remembered not for his incredible football accomplishments, but rather for the fact steroids killed him. There's only one problem with that story. It isn't true. All of Alzado's doctors are on record as stating that there was no link between steroids and his illness. I'll say again, all of his doctors. Let that really sink in for a minute, okay? To further investigate that, I consulted a friend of mine that works in the cancer field. Here were his comments. "I've worked in cancer therapy for 7 years and have never heard of cancers caused by steroids. In fact, we use steroids to treat many cancer patients." As you can imagine, the wasting associated with such. So the question is, you know, what was to blame? As I look at it, there are several possibilities. One, the growth hormone he was using was derived from cadavers. It was apparently from Europe. And if contaminated, had been known to cause a relative of Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, which is essentially mad cow in humans. There were also rumors of his bisexuality, and consequently, it may have been late-stage AIDS that killed him, or a brain tumor linked to AIDS. Then again, perfectly healthy people who have never used a performance-enhancing drug in their life or engaged in high-risk sexual behavior, you know, they get brain tumors too. At this point in the 60-year life cycle of the drugs, there have been millions of people that have used them, and no links to cancer. You may see something with Anadrol and cancers of the liver, but literally nothing else that I can think of or could find. Other side effects, sure, but no link to cancer, you know, nor, frankly, to mortality. You know, when you do see guys on steroids dying, it's usually because of other things that they're using. So why did Alzado rail so vigorously against them? I've got a theory, and it goes back to the original pillars of his psyche. Alzado was the son of an alcoholic father who also beat his mother. He molested his sisters, and he beat Alzado, too. So by all accounts, the situation never got any better, only worse. So Alzado wanted many things in life, but none mattered to him more, okay, than this. He wanted his father to love him, but it never happened. Later on, he fell in love with the Denver Broncos, okay, only to be devastated when they traded him to the Cleveland Browns. He also married 4 times. None of them ever lasted long. He was lauded by professional football teams and certainly the fans, even winning a Super Bowl with the Raiders and appearing in TV commercials, B-movies, and even boxed Muhammad Ali once. But none of it gave him what he so desperately wanted. He wanted to feel loved by someone, anyone. His father never gave that to him. The Broncos didn't give it to him. His comeback at age 40 with the Raiders saw them cut him loose. So even a Super Bowl ring could not fill the void in Alzado's heart. But maybe slaying one more dragon could. He would blame his brain tumor on a convenient villain, steroids. Now, predictably, the media ate it up. They were granting him interviews left and right. They were lauding him for this courage to speak out, right, against the devil's drug. His message was everywhere. "Please, kids, don't take this stuff and pay for it with your life." He said, I'm dying because of steroids, but I'm trying to save you. For that, he was admired by everyone who interviewed him. Sports Illustrated, okay, the World News, his fourth and final wife, you know, they were all fawning over him because he was pointing the finger at the drugs. Now, only Alzado knows if any of that made him feel loved. I suspect it didn't. You know, that he died a broken man, still searching for peace, but finding none of it. Now, I've studied many an Alzado interview, much of his playing history, and I've heard testimony from his friends and family. He was an angry man, and he played the game in an aggressive manner, not seeing really before or since. You know, after he beat an opposing player with his own helmet, the NFL instituted something that came to be known as the Alzado rule. That should tell you how he played the game. He picked fights. He pulled face masks. He trash-talked incessantly. The only time I saw a flicker of happiness cross his face was when he was doing charity work, and he did a lot of it. Here he was in the prime of his career. He was bringing comfort to terminally ill children. And I want you to look for yourself online to see these videos, to see what I'm talking about. As he took the hand of one small child and he brought a smile to his face, I realized something that Sports Illustrated, the World News, and every major media outlet in this country failed to tell you. By his own admission, he was on steroids the entire time. Something to consider the next time you hear about the evils done by everyone's convenient villain.
You know, it's really sad. And remember the other guy who lost his son?
Hooten.
So the dad was on my show back in 2006.
That guy, I mean, that's despicable what he's doing.
Yeah, he's turned it into a living. He made a living out of it. Yeah.
Yeah, making a living off his son's death.
It's really sad, but I mean, Taylor Hooten, they blamed it on anabolic steroids when it was really the antidepressants that made him kill himself, but no one ever talked about that.
Right. Nor the fact that
Asked his father.
Right.
I got to find that interview.
He had a sister that attempted suicide and suffers from depression.
Well, you know what? So here's the thing. Taylor did use underground anabolic steroids. We know that.
Yep.
He used them long enough to have hypothalamus pituitary testicular axis shut down.
Yep.
And the psychiatrist that they took him to made him stop taking the testosterone, did not know anything about PCT, didn't suggest anything about weaning off of it, just put him right on an antidepressant.
Right.
And so the kid, rightfully so, having all of his hormones crash at the same time they put him on drugs that affect the brain, he became severely depressed. The dad talked about how depressed he was, but they weren't blaming it on the antidepressant. I said to his father, and I could hear the remorse in his voice when I asked him this. I said to him, Don, in retrospect, do you think that the antidepressants played some role in this? Because, you know, and I explained to him what PCT was. I explained to him what happens when you start using exogenous hormones. I explained to him that you feel like crap if you just stop taking it and throw into the mix a drug that back then we knew was causing suicidal thoughts.
Right.
And you could hear it. He was reluctant. And so what he said was, well, we just followed the doctor's orders.
And that's exactly his argument. If you tell him, look, Don, it wasn't the steroids, it was Lexapro, he'll say, are you a doctor? Because the doctors told us that he was suffering from post-cycle depression, et cetera, et cetera. Well, my argument's this. That's a convenient political argument that's not going to raise any eyebrows. When was the last time you saw a doctor say, yeah, you know what, Lexapro can cause suicide?
Oh, they'll never say that.
Never.
All their patients will sue them.
Never.
No, they can't say it.
So, you know, there it is. Unfortunately, politics has clouded, right, the lens of which steroids are seen through. Look, nobody's saying, you know, extremely high-dose anabolics without a break for decades isn't gonna, might have some, you know, consequences. But this nonsense that they kill people is just that, in my opinion, nonsense.
And so, in women, it's even women who use high doses of testosterone, they end up with a lot of fibrotic tissue accumulation in the heart. They end up, eventually, they die of a heart attack.
Yeah, and unfortunately, in women, you know, in men, when you stop the drugs, almost all the side effects cease. In women, some, such as deepening of the voice, are irreversible. So,
yeah, but that's not even, I mean, so you got a deep voice. But I'm telling you, the women who are using high doses of testosterone are causing changes in their heart that will kill them someday. Those women will die of a heart attack. They'll just, and they won't be very old. I mean, we're seeing it. We see it all the time. We always see some female bodybuilder who passed away in her 50s or 40s, you know, way too young. Everybody's like, oh, she, that's way too young. Yeah, but if you're a woman and you're doing, excuse me, you're doing, you know, 500 milligrams, 250 milligrams of testosterone cypionate a week, and maybe even more some of these women are doing. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's been shown to cause the tissue in the heart to remodel in a more fibrotic pattern, and fibrous tissue doesn't, it's not smooth, it's not easy to contort. It makes it difficult for the heart to beat. The heart has to work harder. And then you hear about these women, and they die of a heart attack. That's really sad, because that's a, you know, I don't know what these women are chasing. I don't know what they're chasing.
Yeah, that's a sad situation. But so, too, like I said, is Alzado. I mean, you know, to go out like that, I thought there was a very sad, weak, pathetic way to go. Nobody wishes that on anybody, but you can't lay blame like that, especially when you've got all of your doctors saying, look, there is no link whatsoever. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but they just ignore that. That's the thing. Our society is doomed because we have the ability to ignore stuff that's right in front of our face and believe stuff that is mystical and supernatural.
Yeah.
You know, we're not a rational being.
No. Unfortunately, no.
So that's the deal. All right, well, that's all for today, I think. What do you think? We got through the show without the cameras, but we got through the show.
Somehow this show will get out there, and hopefully people will benefit by what we discussed.
It'll be out there in a little while. All right, Rob, thanks a lot, brother.
Thank you.
All right, and we'll talk to everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Thank you. Tomorrow we're doing a great show about iron. This is going to be one that you're going to want to pass around. Stay tuned. We'll talk to you then.